Hey everybody, welcome back to Little Things or Big Things Education Podcast with T-Free and K-Dub. We're here with you on Family is Learning Week, and we're excited to get us kickstarted here on Tuesday with our connection activity. K-Dub is going to lead us through this one, so take it away.
Hey guys, this week with Failures Week, what I thought I would share are connection activities. Probably a little bit of a misnomer. The kids would probably disagree that these are connection activities, but anytime you're playing a game, you kind of get that sense of having it be a little bit more fun than quote unquote normal learning. Tim would probably say, no, games are just how I run my classroom. I know that from talking to him. He does a lot of cool stuff in his room, but I wanted to point out some places where you can use formative assessments and the way that you do your formative assessments to essentially reward kids for failing, right? Like to get them to understand that the failure is where the learning happens and the attempt is as important, if not more important, than actually arriving at the right answer. And so there's a couple of ways that I will usually do my formative assessments that work for this. The first is a bingo. You can have them play bingo. There's a couple of great websites that you can use. I'm sure many of you have seen them where it'll create the bingo board for you. You can print those out. You can have the kids do that digitally. You can do the same thing with Jeopardy. I know that was a really popular thing for a while. I know we had a teacher in our building at one point that had like the whole setup where like there were the buttons to press and like they had like purchased all this fun stuff. I didn't take it that far. I just used the screen with the backdrop and whatnot. And then probably the most common one that I use is Kahoot. I like Kahoot. It's easy to use and it's available everywhere. And for whatever reason, no matter how many times they play it, kids seem to enjoy it. I don't think I've ever heard kids groan at a Kahoot. Tim, do you use Kahoot in your classroom at all?
Yeah, we use Kahoot. I have had them groan a couple times when I keep it 100% math, but if I sneak in like identify this animal, right, and it's one of those ones where it like fades in with the pixelated picture, just to mix it up, that keeps them happy again.
Sweet. And so the thing that I do with all of these, and I'm going to focus on the Kahoot because it's the one I do the most frequently and it's the freshest in my mind as we're returning back to hybrid. I'm planning on doing this next week with my kids, is having them get points, not for whether or not they get the answer right, but for whether or not they answer the question quickly, right? Like I want them to just like, what's on the top of your head? Take a shot. So I don't want you to sit there and think about it and second guess yourself, which I'm kind of trying to train them to go fast, but that's because I want to reward that pace. And there's a thing on Kahoot that lets you know who answered the fastest. And I will like, so I'm trying to figure out how to do this part in hybrid because we're not allowed to give the kids stuff and they're not allowed to eat in our rooms, but I will give away like Dum Dums and Smarties, just like the fastest three people to answer the question. I don't even care who got it right, and I'll just throw it at them, right? And so what that does is it gets kids to speed up and make the effort. And I'll do the same thing with bingo, where a lot of times with my bingo the grid is actually questions and they have to look up the answers. And so there's a speed element to that, right? The first person, and what I'll reward is not the first person to get an accurate bingo. I'll reward the kid who comes to me that has, or the group that comes to me that's filled out is a certain percentage of the grid or thinks they've got a bingo, but they haven't double checked their answers yet. And there's some easy ways to make sure that they're not just like writing down nonsense to see if they're actually like, you know, did they actually look it up on Wikipedia or history.com or whatever, and give them a shot at going fast or seeing what they already know as a group. And so doing it that way, what I've found happens with my students is that they are less worried about getting it wrong because the stigma of getting it wrong is not only not being punished, it's actually being rewarded in a sense because speed is what's being rewarded and making the effort. So like another way that I'll do it with the bingo in particular that's helpful is instead of treating it like actual bingo, it's like I still use those charts because it's nice to have the random generator from different people or from the website. What you can do though is just tell them the first group, like you give them a group of four, you're using prior knowledge, right? So it's a bunch of questions about World War I, for example. and they just have to like write down the answer to the best of their knowledge based on what the group thinks. And then the group that fills it out the fastest, that's who gets the reward, not the group that gets them all correct. And I will sometimes also reward the team that gets the most correct. But again, it's about making that attempt and trying and being willing to go, well, you know, I'm not 100% sure that I know that World War One started in 1914, but I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere. So I'm going to go ahead and write that down.
Right.
And so again, it's just the idea of like rewarding something other than being right, because that's what kids are used to in a thousand different ways.
Well, and just encouraging the attempt and a quick attempt, right? Like, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but this is Mel Robbins, the 5 second rule, right? Like this idea that if we don't go with our gut reaction within 5 seconds, our brain actually like tells us to like pause, halt, don't do it. You know, so to like train kids to actually do inside of that 5 seconds. I love that. And I've done that inside of sports as well. One of my drills, it made me think of that when you were doing it on speed, is we just rapid fired like little tiny quick shots underneath the hoop. You had to alternate sides. And it was about how fast you could shoot and how many you could shoot, not about how many you made. And it was, yeah, it just, two things for me, and this is true in the classroom as well, is like when you go really, really fast and then you go back to a normal tempo feels slow, right? Just like when you're driving on the freeway and then all of a sudden you pull off onto a side street that's 25 and you're like, why am I going so slow? But, you know, if you were driving through the neighborhood at 15 and then all of a sudden you get onto a 35 or something, right? You're like, wow, I'm going really fast. Like that relativity thing. So I like what you're doing there with just encouraging the speed and the effort to attempt.
Yeah. And so like another thing that I just was thinking of when you were talking about like the importance of the attempt, there's another thing that I'll do. I do all my multiple choice quizzes. First of all, they're open notes, so they shouldn't be getting them wrong anyways. And we could go into a whole episode about why open note tests are more valuable than closed note tests and having kids try and memorize things when these exist. Why would I ever memorize anything? But what I do is I make all the questions required, and I've had students in the past. So now I know to pre-teach it like, hey, they're all required. There's no minus points for getting it wrong. So if you don't know, you got a 25% chance of getting it right. You might get it right. Like just make the attempt, right? If you didn't do anything for class and you're not sure that you're going to do well, like make the attempt, right? Because you can't do worse than zero. So, and you're guaranteed a zero if you don't do anything. So, and that like paralysis, I know that's something that you and I both talk about as well, is that idea of like trying to be perfect can cause paralysis. So the speed and allowing them to fail from a formative standpoint is a really good strategy for encouraging or I don't want to go so far as encouraging failure, but like encouraging them to get outside of their comfort zone and know that it's safe to fail, right? You're not going to be punished for the failure. I think that's really the language I like to use is that it's safe to fail in this space. Another way that I really like to do that is when I am doing projects in particular, right? Where we're doing like an extended period of time with a learning activity, there's always an option to just like do the old school, go ahead and write the essay, right? Write the 5-paragraph essay, do it, you know, do it the way history's always been done, and fine, you can do that. But I do two things to kind of encourage students to do something else and get outside of their comfort zone. And some of this is because I want students to focus on their strengths and to be freed up to do something other than write an essay, because not every student's going to do well in that format. But also because I want kids to try something and experience the discomfort of doing something that they've never done before and possibly failing, but knowing that I've got their back through the process and knowing that as long as they're doing the process correctly, they're still going to get a good grade in my class, right? Like, I'm not like, if you tried to do one of these novel attempts at something different than an essay and it doesn't work, I don't punish you for the result, right? You get graded by how was your process, right? Did the learning take place? And probably you learned more than the person that wrote the essay, because not only did you learn the content, but you learned something about some form of technology or some form of art. So some examples of these things that I'm talking about. One of my go-tos, my very first teaching job was at a STEM school. And my sophomores who were in my world history class all had I don't even know the name of the class anymore. It was like a digital media class. Okay. At the same time, like with all together with the same teacher right after they had my class. So this other teacher and I, his name was Shy, really good guy. We collaborated and we created, okay, they're going to do, I don't even remember what the history topic was, but they're going to take the content from my class and apply it to make a movie trailer about the part of history that they're learning. And so then the application there was like, they're going to videotape different scenes and then figure out how to edit and clip and put the sound background and do all the stuff that you would see in like a formal movie trailer. And what these kids put together was really, really phenomenal. So I've always offered that as another option for kids, because now they're learning how to cut things, how to edit, how to actually publish a video of some shape or form. So that's a really fun one that every once in a while, when I make that option available, I'll get a couple kids to do it. And those are always fun to watch and help them kind of figure out the process. I've had kids do podcasts before, like instead of giving me an essay, do it in a podcast form, where now you're interviewing a friend about the topic, or kind of setting that up and making that work is a really good option. Another one that I really enjoy doing, because I'm terrible at art, but I have a lot of students who are really great at art, and I love seeing student artwork, is instead of doing an essay, do a graphic novel, right? Tell this historical story through some artwork and some bubble captions and things of that nature. And then the last one that I'll share that has kind of become one of my fallbacks is write a song about it. And then you have to record the song, right? So that's like that next step, is I want you to actually record the song. It's not just writing down the lyrics, right? Like, I want to hear an instrument, or even if you're like creating electronic music, you know, you and I are both EDM fans, so obviously totally okay with that. Right. You know, we got to avoid breaking copyright laws and things and not getting ourselves in trouble, but like doing it that way. And then, so one, like really pushing and encouraging kids to do it that way. And I always have the essay as an option, but I really try and sell it. And some of this is really just the way that you talk about things in class. Like, I always remind people, like, this is here for safety. And then the other thing that I do is I make the essay really odious, right? Like, if you're going to do the essay, it's going to be 5,000 words. And kids are like, I'm not writing no 5,000 word essay. I'm going to try and write a song. So I still, I still do get kids that want to do the essay, and I don't want to discourage kids who really feel like that's their best way to express their learning, but just pushing kids to try something new. And then again, letting them know that if you try to make a movie trailer and the movie trailer doesn't work, well, guess what? I still have your research. I still have your communication about what you learned about the topic, which ultimately is what I'm grading you for. And then it's really cool that you tried this thing, and whether it worked or not, like you've experienced some learning from trying to work with your friends and be a director, right? Like, that's a learning experience too. Just trying to direct three of your friends to actually act out the scenes the way that you had them envisioned in your head.
Right. Absolutely. You saw how improv went for us last week.
Yeah, I need a lot of support with that. I need some direction. So those are just a couple of ideas for people, both with formative assessments, and really my projects are usually my summative assessments for encouraging kids to try things in a different way rather than focusing on doing what's comfortable and doing what's safe.
Right. I want to give a quick shout out and thanks for bringing up Jeopardy, because it took me back to like a decade ago when we were doing like the active boards, active Inspire, and it had that old grid, and it, like the fancy like graphic was you clicked it and it like the box spun around.
Yeah.
Oh! I love that. That was fun. That was fun. Have you talked Kahoot? Have you ever tried GimKit?
I don't even think I've heard of that GimKit. How do you spell it?
So check if you like Kahoot, and if anybody else out there is using Kahoot and you have not heard of GimKit, I don't think they're 100% transferable as far as like their purpose. I think some are better than others. But one of the cool things about the GimKit one too is you get rewarded for the speed and accuracy, because you start to get like multipliers for like getting things accurate. But the faster you can go through and the more that you're making money, like the more you know, the faster you'll earn. So then you can go back and you can buy these upgrades, and then the upgrades let you earn even faster. And then there's also like silly things in it where like the students can freeze each other so they can't answer any questions for like 30 seconds. And you know, like a bomb that like cuts their cash flow like in half or something, you know, like there's funny things where they can jam each other if you want to make it kind of competitive. But it's another one of those where it's just, it's a game. It's kind of fun, and it's a little bit of that kind of flash cardy vibe of Kahoot, but it does have that element of speed in it too.
That's awesome. I like that.
So sweet. Well, appreciate it. Those are always fun. I think the only follow-up I might have had on this was like when you do have a student that takes that massive risk, like let's say the movie trailer kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? And it goes so bad they're on the verge of shutdown, right? Like, you know, I've had students that go big and then like, you know, and I think this is a learning moment and I think it's a very teachable thing. I'm just curious how you maybe have handled and some insight for us that are going to try something wild and new and are going to experience as a teacher the meltdown of a child who gave it their all and came up so far short that they think it's unrecoverable.
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I think the first thing is, again, be really transparent from the beginning that it's okay if the movie trailer doesn't all come together, right? Like, you can always just send me what you have, right? I just want to see what you created. And there's definitely a fine line, I think, between like overselling that and kids thinking that they don't really have to try because it doesn't matter if it doesn't succeed. Like, you don't want to overdo that and then they don't really make a full-throated attempt at it. So I think that's the first piece, is like to get a little preventative. And then to your point, right, like almost every time I do this, there's at least one group where one kid that has that like meltdown like you're talking about, where there's like borderline hysteria about this is unrecoverable. There's no way to show you that we learned anything. Like nothing's happening here. So a couple of tricks of the trade for me with that is, number one, let them get it all out. Don't interrupt. Don't try and tell them that everything's going to be okay until they've had a chance to just like let it all out. And then the next thing that I'll usually do is ask them, what do you want to do about this, right? Like, what do you think the solution to where we're at right now is? And sometimes they'll kind of self-solve the problem for themselves, right? They'll just say, well, if I could just get two more days, fine, two more days, right? Like, or I kind of need to redo the whole thing. Like, I need to be able to reshoot it because like the person that like to go into the movie trailer example, the person that I wanted to film in the role, like they wouldn't listen. They kept whatever. So I need this other person to do it. And that means, so it's like, okay, fine. Like, do that. Okay. So sometimes they'll solve it that way. Other times they'll solve it. Well, they'll just kind of offer, well, like, I do have this and this. What if I just turn those in? Yes, that works, right? Like, again, like I told you from the beginning, if you fail, you get credit for the attempt. So right. Letting them vent and then just asking them, like, what do you think makes sense for how to move forward? And you will still run into kids, to your point, who are like, they're convinced that this is an utter disaster. There's nothing recoverable about this. And the only thing to do is to stop right now and write an essay. Or I've had this happen a couple times. Stop right now and just take the zero, right? Like, it's not worth the stress to try and redo it. It's not worth the stress to like revisit everything and go back and try and do this other thing, because yeah, I could write the essay over the weekend, but I have this other major homework thing to do and I don't want to balance that out. And so I think I just need to like take the zero here. And so in that moment, it's important to really point out to them, okay, what I've heard is that you learned how to do this. I've heard that you learned this. I know from looking at your notes that you have this information and this information about the topic that we're studying. I'm hearing that this is a particular struggle for you and you haven't figured out how to get two other people who aren't as interested in the topic as you to actually follow through on things. So you've learned some don'ts for leadership style, right? Or for group selection, right? You pick to work with your two best friends and it turns out they're not reliable. And you've learned this lesson. So pointing out to them all the little steps of learning and or little moments of success. So thinking like about a song, for example, I had a student who went out on a limb, tried to do a song. And the problem was they didn't play an instrument. And so they were trying to like do that, like the music, and they couldn't figure out how to like pull the I'm not a music person. So pull the beat or the, what's the term for that? Whatever. Right? They couldn't figure out how to pull that and have it play in the background. But they also wrote these amazing lyrics that were really well thought out. Like, if you just heard her performance without the music behind it, it was good enough, right? It was like spoken word, essentially. It was like, this is freaking awesome. So he said, what you learned is you didn't think that you were a poet and that you didn't think that you could do music, but you wanted to try and you learned that you could do that. Like, just celebrate the fact that you got there. Who cares if the technology of the music overlap didn't work? So that's a really great question. So, and again, just to kind of like review, number one, let them get all their frustrations out. Like, just let them air it out. Number two, ask them what they would do to solve it. Often they'll come up with their own solution. And as long as you're flexible, like we talked about being last week, you can, yeah, fine, have another couple days or whatever you need to do. Give me a 2-minute movie trailer instead of a 4-minute movie trailer, whatever. Because that'll come up to, well, I have 2 minutes worth of stuff that I can use. It's just the other, I can't get to 5. So that's another one. And then if they don't totally hit the wall, it's like point out to them where their successes are, what they've learned, and tell them that that's what you were looking for. And kind of tell them, based on what you've told me, this is what I'm going to put your grade in the grade book. If you can just give me the data download of all the trash that you think is not valuable, just give it to me and I'll give you this grade. So, because I do make them like, you have to turn something in, right? Like, you can't just cry and have it be done. The one that's harder,
the follow through after the meltdown is critical for the learning. I love that.
Yes, absolutely. And then the last one, just real quick, I know you didn't specifically ask it and I'm talking a lot here, but this is something I'm really passionate about. Group assignments. Man, group assignments where you encourage the kids to go on a tangent like this can go horribly wrong. And you can really end up with some conflict between students. And so one of the things that I am trying to get better at, this is really something that's I'm trying to focus on as a place for growth. And it's going to be a focus for me next year because I can't do as much group stuff the way I would like to in the learning situation that we're at in Portland. Really double checking that when a kid says, well, these guys won't do this or they won't do that, it's like, well, how much voice did you give them in the project idea? How many opportunities have you given them to talk through things? And so sitting down with each individual kid and finding out what the story is. And then again, to go back to that point about the learning, my goal is to then point out to them, okay, so we're learning something about working in a group and the dynamics of working in a group here. What are those lessons that you can apply to the next time it's time to do a group project? Right. And so that learning is valuable, even if it wasn't quote unquote the assignment, there's still something that took place here that's of note. And let's make sure that we capture that and then figure out how to get a grade for the assignment. I'll figure that out.
Right. Awesome. Well, I love it. And I'm stoked to continue this conversation on Thursday with you as we continue into our big idea. I know there's a lot more for us to talk about. So I want to, because this is the connection activity, I want to just kind of close up a little bit with the idea that, like, all the things you talked about at the end there, like, that is the connection, right? Like, knowing the student, relating to the student, reassuring the student, pulling them out of the depths of a meltdown, helping them figure out the learning that was there that they might not see. Like, all of that is the connection, and that just builds your classroom into such a better spot for you to do even cooler stuff moving forward. So thanks for sharing all that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. All right. See you guys on Thursday. Always learn in a peak state.
Make it a great day.